The hymn we just sang. Okay, I lost my page. What number was it again? The hymn we just sang. I remember the melody, but I can't.
277.
Okay, thank you. So 277 is really connected with Christ's glory, and the thought that Christ's glory fills eternity is really beautiful. So now, today, our hearts are filled with Christ, but the world to come will be filled with His glory, and even in eternity. And also that we are now instruments to bring praise and glory and worship to Him already now. So in the third stanza, we see that there is a stream of grace that comes from above to us. And now from us, there is a stream of thanksgiving going back to God, giving honor and power and praise to Him. And so this is wonderful that God was able to rescue us and to make us instruments for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus and to fill us with Him. And now from that fullness, we can bring praise and glory to God's name. And in that connection, I was thinking, first of all, of a verse in Ephesians chapter 3 and then Colossians and then a few more verses. In Ephesians 3, where we have that response of filled vessels in verse 19, filled to all the fullness of God. And from that fullness flows this response of thanksgiving and praise in verse 20 to Him that is able to do far exceedingly above all which we ask or think according to the power which works in us. To Him be glory in the assembly, in Christ Jesus, to all generations of the age of ages. Amen. So the assembly here has become a vessel to bring praise to God. The vessel in Christ Jesus, we belong to that vessel, and it is prepared by God to bring praise and glory to His name. And this is God's purpose, to have us, the assembly, together with Christ, to bring praise and glory to Him already now. And I'd like to connect that with Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, in Colossians, the Lord Jesus presented as the one who has the preeminence. He is preeminent in creation, in redemption. He is preeminent in connection with the church. He is the preeminent one. But then the thought of praise is there also, but it's all connected with Him. In Colossians, first, chapter 2. If you study Colossians, you see that things were all right, but there were dangers. And the danger was that something would be placed beside Christ, that they would think Christ is not really sufficient. But Colossians, we find the presentation of the all-sufficiency of Christ. Without Christ, we have nothing. With Christ, we have everything. And so Paul wanted to establish the believers in that, and that's throughout the whole epistle. But then in chapter 2, I just want to read this well-known verse 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As therefore you have received the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and assured in the faith, even as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And so the thought that we had in our hymn, that the Lord Jesus is everything. That needs to be a reality in our lives. And so it starts with, we received it. Ye have received. That is the greatest gift. The greatest person, Christ, means the anointed one. He's the true anointed one. God anointed him. And in connection with David, I wanted to explain that, but I lost the train of thoughts at that moment. But David was anointed three times. First by Samuel, and I mentioned that this morning, but then also later by the two tribes in 2 Samuel, and then by the whole people. He was anointed three times. Now the Lord Jesus was anointed by God. The Holy Spirit came on him, and Acts 10, Peter says that the Lord Jesus was anointed. God anointed him on this earth. But then in Acts 2, Peter explains that God anointed the Lord Jesus also in heaven. He raised him, and there in heaven he anointed him. That is the word Christ. He made him Christ, he made him Lord and Christ. So as the anointed one in heaven, the Lord Jesus shared that unction with the believers on this earth, Acts 2. And we've been brought into that realm where the Holy Spirit is everything, where Christ is everything. And in that realm, we belong also to the anointed one. But he is Jesus. That reminds us of his life in humility. But it also reminds us of the fact that he is God and man. In Matthew 1, his name is given as Jesus, that because Jesus implies he is Jehovah, he is the Lord. But he is also seen as a man, as a humble man. He's God and man in one. That's a mystery. But that is the fact that's connected with this beautiful name, Jesus. And Philippians 2 shows that this is the name above every name. And God gave him the name, which is above every name, Philippians 2. So that is the name of Jesus. But he is also Lord. He has authority. If the Lord Jesus is not Lord in my life, he's not Lord at all. Some people say it this way, and that's really striking. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. So if I do not recognize the Lord as having supreme authority in every area of my life, then I don't acknowledge him as Lord. And so that's a challenge for us, to acknowledge the Lord Jesus in every area of my life. The family, marriage, assembly, business, wherever it is, that we own the Lord Jesus as Lord, who has control, who has authority, who is really the boss. But that's a gift God has given him as such to us. It's a privilege to acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Lord, that he has that place. And then it says, walk in him, verse 7. So that is the fellowship that we have now with him. They can walk with him and in him, in fellowship with him. That fellowship is rooted in him. It's like a tree. We talked about the tree in Psalm 1. And the tree is firmly rooted. If you have a tree which is not firmly rooted, the wind will blow it soon. And some have said, tree, if you have a tall tree, the roots are as tall as the tree is. So underground, the roots are very important. And so we need to be rooted in Christ. But also built up. That is the upbuilding that he does, the edification. We all need edification. We need to be edified. And that is a process that goes together with the rooting. The rooting is not only once. It is an ongoing process to have the roots firm in him, but then also in fellowship with him, in him, to be edified and built up. We all need to be edified. A husband needs to edify his wife. And a family needs to edify their children. And so it goes on. In the assembly, we need to be edified. If a brother speaks and nobody understands, we are not edified. And so this is an important principle of a building, but it is in him. That's the key. In fellowship with him. And then that brings assurance. Assured in the faith, even as ye have been taught. That assurance is very important. If you are not really sure about things, you have to lay hold on things by faith. And Hebrews 11 explains that further. Through faith we see what is invisible, and the invisible things become a reality. And so we have been taught